The end of the world is coming.
It was predicted thousands of years ago.
See ya!
A reverse polarity sunspot.
Goodbye.
There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream.
This is the end.
This is just the beginning of the end, in fact. We've been talking about the end with the help of our friends at Scientific American, the end of all kinds of things. We began with a discussion of the end of cultures threatened by modernity. That was on Tuesday. You actually did something on Monday as well, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, we talked about the end of resources, using up the resources we have.
It's an issue we talk about every day on this program. We also talked yesterday about the end of an individual life as being a threshold point for harvesting organs, which then go on to live other lives
right.
and other people, which is a whole other kind of ending. But it's safe to say that if you go to the movies, you can see all kinds of endings of the world. There's, of course, the planet-killing asteroid scenario. That was a fad.
The flood.
Sure. You got your nukes.
Roger, copy. This is not an exercise.
Roger, understand. Major Reinhardt, we have a massive attack against the U.S. at this time. Roger, understand. Over 300 missiles inbound now.
I can't let them in.
You've got to.
I only planned this for three. You, me, and Tommy. I've only got provisions for three. It's our lives or theirs, girl.
Two nuclear disaster films, the 1956 The Day the World Ended and the 1983 The Day After. That was a television special
that was
watched by probably everyone in America.
By everybody, yeah.
And then, of course, you got the environment ending at global warming or global cooling.
We've found something extraordinary. Extraordinary and disturbing, that is. You recall what you said about how polar melting might disrupt the North Atlantic current?
Yes.
It's, of course, from The Day After Tomorrow with Jake Gyllenhaal from 2004. But whether you're reading movie scripts or the Book of Revelation, there's something kind of irresistible
Nostradamus,
about the end of the world.
The apocalypse.
John Mattson is here to help us, online news reporter for Scientific American, author of Laying Odds on the Apocalypse, one story in the Scientific American theme issue about the end. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So do you have a fascination with apocalypse stories? Let's just disclose that at the top, or is this just straight ahead the facts, ma'am?
Well, I think I certainly have a fascination, but probably no more than anyone else, given the popularity of the movies and books that are everywhere and that have always been around.
Now, the first end-of-the-world scenario I heard about was in elementary school when I was told in the course of my science class that the sun eventually was going to grow large and burst and that would end all life on Earth, but it was going to be billions of years in the future.
Absolutely.
What are some more near-term scenarios that you've explored?
Well, the one that we have all thought about in terms of, certainly in terms of the Cold War, was nuclear apocalypse. And that's still on the table. It certainly seems less likely than it did 20 or 50 years ago, but it's something that people still think about.
It's less politically likely, but I remember back in the 80s when it seemed during the Reagan administration that we were on the brink. There was all kinds of discussion of nuclear winter. As a scientific question, do people explore what a nuclear winter would actually look like?
People have. I haven't seen as much exploration of that lately. I think because the political situation has changed, it's not as much on the forefront of everyone's minds, but there has been a lot of research done about what that would look like.
If the politics of apocalypse were nuclear in the 80s, it's environmental today.
I think so.
And what are the scenarios of the ending of the world in a sort of global warming context, putting the Day After Tomorrow movie aside for a moment?
Well, the global warming context is a little bit different than perhaps a nuclear apocalypse because it might happen more slowly. I mean, we're going to have some sea level rise. No one knows quite how much. It's hard to predict. And more than likely, we'll have some time to deal with that. But the situation that's facing us is we might have a lot more people competing for fewer resources, hundreds of millions of refugees. Those sort of things are really destabilizing factors that are very unpredictable.
The other end of the world theory is kind of science gone amok, right? Cloning or biological research that
Ebola
ends up in a plague.
Green goo,
a plague that's going to kill off everybody but 10 people who have to keep the entire planet going. I mean,
and
this
the
is
ants, they'll stay around.
Right, a common theme in novels, but this is it's rooted in a real fear people have.
Absolutely, and we explored the. In the article that we did, we explored the pandemic situation, which is, again, very unpredictable. No one knows when one might strike, what it would look like. But in general, people tend to think that we're not very prepared for that.
You know, John, with all due respect, aside from a fear of radio interviews, are there scenarios about the end of the world that actually scare you?
The global warming one is big, quite obviously. It seems like very likely that, that something is going to happen. No one knows the magnitude.
Where do you live?
I live in Brooklyn.
So have you calculated the rise?
I'm on the fourth floor, so
he's thought about
for
it.
The time being, I'll have a little time to think about it.
Well, I mean, do you actually prepare? I mean, do you do stuff, or is this something you just think about idly? When you're not writing an article about it.
I try not to think about it too much. The research process for this article was a little bit hard to shake, but obviously these are things we have to think about in terms of nuclear proliferation and global warming in general.
You know, and it goes back a long way. You mentioned Nostradamus.
Yeah.
People have been acting on information, valid or not, about the end of the world for thousands of years.
They have.
Preparing for something. And so the idea that we would prepare for, you know, the flood reaching the fourth floor of your building versus preparing for what Nostradamus predicted, you know, these are impulses that go way back in human history.
Oh, absolutely. And
so you're prepared.
I wouldn't say I'm prepared, but I do try to think about what we can do to put these situations in the less likely column.
But we can safely say, as a takeaway this morning, that the sun blowing up
is going to happen.
But it's still billions of years away.
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 billion years is the figure that gets bandied around the most.
4 or 5 billion.
We'll be lucky to still be around to see that.
Yeah, maybe my grandchildren. They'll have evolved into cyborgs and part insect, I guess.
Well, you can be sure that Twinkies and cockroaches will still be here.
Exactly. That'll get burned up. John Mattson, online news reporter for the Scientific American, author of Laying Odds on the Apocalypse, one story in the Scientific American theme issue about the end. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.